Now that I am approaching 40, I have been using adaptogens to manage stress, lack of sleep, and cycle changes, especially during cold and flu season when the kids are up all throughout the night. I love supplementing with ashwagandha mid-morning to help my body manage stress or lack of sleep, or even when we're traveling. I also love Vitex or Chasteberry. There is so much research on how it helps relieve PMS symptoms like headaches and mood changes and even cycle irregularities. And the only place I get adaptogen blends is from Organifi. They have clinical doses of adaptogen blends, and they make them in really good tasting drinks. Adaptogens are herbs and functional mushrooms that help your body adapt to stress. Research shows adaptogens can balance cortisol, combat fatigue, enhance focus, ease depression and anxiety, and support proper hormone function. Organifi's green juice blend has ashwagandha, and Harmony is perfect for you to take around your cycle if you're struggling with PMS or want to balance hormones. And new this month, Organifi just launched Kids Easy Greens. This is awesome for picky eaters or when you just want to supplement your kids' diet with superfood greens, micronutrients, and antioxidant-rich digestive and immune support. It's a nutrient-rich blend of veggies and superfoods with added probiotics and digestive enzymes. It tastes amazing, and you can just tell your kid it's juice. Support your body, energy, immunity, and stress with Organifi. Organifi takes pride in offering the best tasting superfood products on the market at a price that works out to less than $3 a day. There are clinical doses of adaptogens, so you actually feel the difference. Go to Organifi.com/wellfed and use code wellfed for 20% off. That's Organifi, Organifi.com/wellfed. Use code WELLFED for 20% off your entire order. You are now listening to Well-Fed Women, the show that's been radically changing the way women perceive health, fitness, and their bodies since 2015. I'm your host, Noelle Tarr. Submit your questions to wellfedwomen@gmail.com, and you can keep up with the show on Instagram at wellfedwomen. Welcome, fam. Welcome back. This is the Well-Fed Women podcast. I'm here with Stephanie Ruper, my all-time favorite co-host. She's just the bomb. And as per usual, we're on the struggle bus just a little bit. We have a lot of random, really good questions, and I'm excited to get into them. One of them we can pontificate on. The 80-20 rule with health. So what are the things when you're in like stressful seasons, which... maybe us right now, but it may be you as well. What are the 20% of things that you can do that make the biggest difference, that account for 80% of changes? We also are going to be talking about hormone supportive daily routines and what that looks like. And then how do you make diet changes for yourself and then at the same time feed your families when those two things aren't the same? So a lot of, long chats before we get into that. Talk to me about what's going on with you. You've sent me some texts that you're excited about talking about different nutrients and new realizations. However, you still have not gotten any better in terms of your headaches since it was last month that we were
recording. Better. It's not good. Hi, sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt. What's up? How's it going? Steph here. It's been really, really wild, fam. I think I have finally turned a corner. I have to be so careful. I don't quite remember everything that I shared with you last we spoke, but I remember that I told you that I had figured out that I had overtaken B6. And something else that I've dived really far into literature on the nervous system. And it's really wild to me because as somebody who has been working in the health and fitness space for so long, and for somebody who's like, my entire life is predicated on the ability of my brain working, I still kind of just followed conventional wisdom on head pain and nervous system health. Head pain is the funniest thing because it's so common. It's so important. And there is still such a tiny understanding of what drives all the different kinds of headaches, including migraines. It's mind blowing to me.
It really is.
And even when we talk about these kinds of things, we rarely ever talk about brain health. It's wild to me. Absolutely wild. I've been learning about the nervous system and it's like such a black box. And the amount of information that I've been able to find on stuff is so limited. And so the thing that I really, really, really want to talk about is following advice, which is funny because we give advice. And the only piece of advice that I could ever give and stand by ongoingly, which is at the core of this podcast, is we are all individuals. Yeah. And what happens for all of us is so specific to our personal bodies. Scientific studies, right? So we want to use science and we use science all the time in this podcast. And in, like, this is what we need to do, but we need to be good scientists and understanding the limits of what we're employing, right? And so every single study on what, like, quote unquote, happens in people draws conclusions based on statistical analyses of averages. And every single time there's a conclusion about what works or what doesn't, what affects people or what doesn't, what happens or what doesn't, is based on an average. And every single, almost every single one of these averages has a distribution around it, right? Whenever you have an average, there are a whole bunch of numbers across a bell curve, right? And you get certain standard deviations away from that. And every single time there's a study, there are, like, almost nobody falls under the exact number of average, right? Like, everybody's just sort of conglomerated to it. Another remarkable thing about studies is that they're all done on people who sign up to be in them. And this is often, like, not even the norm in our culture, because unfortunately, the people who sign up to be in studies, like, really, like, they need money and they don't have a lot of money and they might not have great nutritional status. And this isn't always the case, but, like, or, you know, P.S., by the way, if you, like, do, if you pay attention to psychological literature, a lot of the psych studies are just done on people that people at universities can find to come. So, like, university students, by the way.
Wow. And, yeah, not a good representation.
No,
right.
Absolutely not. And it's wild because we make these massive generalizations about human psychology and it's done on, like, kids who go to college.
Wow.
It just, so anyway, just FYI. And that's not always the case because people are aware of these limits and they're trying to get outside of the cultural context. I mention all of this because your story, we're all like, you know, like, averages are good places to start, but you can't know for sure that you're always going to be in the middle. And what the advice is based on these studies done around averages for the people who sign up in the studies won't always necessarily be yours, which brings me to me. So I'm in this period where vitamin B6, like, it is a toxin, a neurotoxin in high doses, and the amount it takes of eating it and over certain time scales is different for every single person, right? And it's different based on your genetics and the effects it has on you. And one thing it can also do is inhibit GABA production. And GABA is the thing that I've always known that I've been missing. GABA is an inhibitory neurotransmitter that helps you calm down, that helps you sleep. And it's also involved in pain modulation and serotonin and dopamine. And so, to recap from last time, this situation I found myself in has sort of put me on boss level of my headaches because everything that triggers my headaches is way worse, including light sensitivity, because B6 also just, like, creates light sensitivity. The literature on light sensitivity is wild. If you Google, like, light sensitivity, you find almost nothing. And if you dig a little bit, they just give you a list of supplements you should be taking, nutrients you could be missing. But right. As it turns out, I think the vast majority of what's been driving my light sensitivity for the last 20 years has been overnutrition, like, too much. Okay, vitamin K, for example, they say there is no known upper tolerable limit of vitamin K. That's wild. There's an upper tolerable limit of air, water.
Yeah.
And as I said last time, in the B vitamins, they're like, oh, Well, you just pee them out. You can have thousands of percentages in your blood. You just pee them out. It's not going to affect your health. What do you mean it's not going to affect my health? And I think partly because of the studies and how they're done and who they're done on and all, and their short term, we have this idea that like deficiencies are always the problem. But for me, too much B vitamins, period, for the last 20 years, too much water, period, for the last 20 years. Like I think I've been over hydrating forever. And that's partially because I've been overeating vegetables, which are very high in water. And I think that's really messed up my electrolyte balance. Electrolytes, The brain is an electrical organ. If you don't have proper electrolyte balance, like your brain doesn't work. And if you're overhydrated, like it can cause so many problems. And there's all these nutrients involved in helping the I detect light. And I think I've had too many of them. And I'm not going to go into the details because I don't want people to fall down rabbit holes of thinking that their story is like my specific story. But yeah, so that's what I've been going through. And I've learned so much. And it's been really hard. It's been really hard to keep the pain at bay and to keep doing my job. But it's really stripped me down to necessities and forced me to really dive into this issue that I've had that I've always just kind of shrugged at and been like, well, I'm prone to headaches. I can't really find answers. But now I'm realizing that I know that I have a tendency to overdo things. If they say something's good for you, like, yeah, I'm going to do a ton of it. I'm going to eat a ton of vegetables. I'm going to drink a ton of water. I'm going to exercise a ton. I'm going to do all this kind of stuff. And as it turns out, I think doing a ton of everything, I've been shooting myself in the foot.
Yeah.
So anyway,
if this was a question on the podcast and I were to answer it.
Is it the first one you put in the doc? Because it's blowing my mind.
Okay. First about the nutritional studies. Okay. It is mind blowing because when you start to dive into literature on nutrition, you realize how little we know about nutrition in general. Nothing. And how much stuff we make up.
Yes.
First of all.
Yes.
You do a few little studies, which by the way, you were so right on about the averages, but also when we look at people, a lot of the times most of the time, unless it's like a double blind placebo, which nutrition studies really aren't, for the most part, we have a lot of these observational studies. We are unable to really control all the variables. There are so many variables that exist. And to say that this X diet or this nutrient is needed in this amount by all people is just so, it can be obviously in your case, incredibly detrimental. The other thing that I will say for you, you don't have to go into detail about all of this, but I do feel like you kind of had like a major life move and things have changed a lot for you. So obviously sensitivities like this can become heightened or you can become more prone to them when you're under chronic stress. So maybe you're not necessarily feeling like you're chronic stressed in comparison to the rest of your life, but you are getting older, which I hate to remind you of. But I have found likewise, I went through a phase, in the last year where I didn't feel abnormally stressed, but if I were to take a step back and look at it, I was under a chronic stress that I was kind of putting myself through, whether it was mentally and emotionally or physically or whatever. And my body didn't respond the same that it used to. I couldn't handle the same load, so to speak, as I once had. And so the way that my body expresses issues, even though I want to say, and this is what working with Alyssa from about the nervous system health has really helped me see, because for me, in my mind, I'm always like something. Okay. So my back hurts. Something must be hurting it. And instead, the way she's retrained me is your body is expressing this pain in this way, whether it's a headache, whether it's shoulder pain, where I've had a surgery, whether it's back pain, where I know I have on an X-ray some back issues. Your body is expressing pain in this way because it has no other option and you need to slow down. So it's your body stopping you from continuing at the speed that you were at, which I've bought into. I had to buy into that way of thinking because I have no other option, but I have done a lot more research into pain and pain expression. And it's wild. I think you would find a lot of information from the book Explain Pain, since you do have like such long withstanding headaches. Not to say that all of those physiological things aren't playing a role, like absolutely, you know your body best. So like the vitamin over supplementing and all that kind of stuff has created this situation. But now your body's becoming much more sensitive to it, especially during times of stress, which is really, really hard. And it's hard when we don't have the answers and we can't fix it like we used to, or we can't fix it with research, which you and I think are, we like that.
I appreciate that. And I agree with you. I mean, I'm less stressed than I've been in ever. And one could say, well, maybe there's like underlying feelings of stress. One could also say, well, maybe now that the stress is released, you know, there's sort of a kickback. Sure. You know, all this kind of stuff. But I often think when digging through these things, like if something looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. And I was taking high dose B vitamins at the level where people say it can become quite toxic and have these certain effects.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
And, you know, the research thing is really funny because I was also like, I often get feedback from people that says, you know, maybe you just need to stop trying to find an answer and just chill out and like whatever. And I was sort of leaning into that. And I'm just like,
no,
and
I just,
and then I just sit, and then I just sit in pain. And I had this most wild experience. I noticed because I have been in this period where, say, you know, I'm like doing everything I can to be in as little pain as possible and managing, doing okay, you know, doing fine. But then I notice like when my head starts to hurt, right? And I was noticing that, and I had really pared down my diet, which I know in some cases you might say, like, we might say, oh, that's really dangerous because you want to make sure you're not missing out on nutrients. But I really do think that my problem has not been that I've been missing out on nutrients. So I think less is good for me for a while. And we actually, like, we've also heard about people who like have a bunch of health problems and they go on like the quote unquote beer and pizza diet or whatever. Like they stop worrying about it and then they're fine. So anyway,
yeah,
I was noticing that foods that have never been on my radar as something that could give me a headache, I ate them. And I started getting like this pain here. And so I opened my Chronometer app, and like, I know which data sources are, I have an inkling from some research I've done, which data sources about what nutrients are in which foods are like the best ones. So I go through and I make a spreadsheet, like a little spreadsheet of like foods I'm eating and various nutrients in them. And as it turns out, one nutrient that's really, really high in foods that I was eating really a lot of, like, is in everything that I've kind of like shrugged at and been like, why is that making my head hurt in the last few years? And that's like, that's so specific to me. And when I cut that out, I instantly felt better. And so this whole thing about like, maybe you can't do research, maybe you can't fix it, I think that to myself all the time. And then I do more research and I fix it. So I just, I don't, I really,
I will never stop. Yeah. There's,
you know,
no,
and so it's just, yeah. It's so they say that this like flushing excess B6 out of the system can take 6 to 12 months. And so like, I do need to just be patient with that.
Yeah.
At the same time, these changes I've made have really illuminated to me. The thing that I'm seeking right now is balance. We hear of a good thing and we often are like, oh, I got to do more and more and more and more of that. I got to eat more and more and more greens, more and more and more greens. I have to eat more greens.
Right.
Actually, no. And something I don't know how much I've ever followed my own personal advice of like, just chill out because we're all going to be dead someday. You know, but I've said that on this podcast so many times, and how well have I followed that? You know? And so I'm just, right. I am getting better, everybody, but it's been a real season for learning and, you know, stepping into all that. And I'm so hopeful. I do feel actually quite hopeful that what I'm learning right now is it's giving me the tools to be resilient, right? So my new approach is like every morning I wake up and I'm like, I need to start like supporting and building my resilience so that the things that normally trigger me, like light, like, you know, whatever, don't. I'm liking thinking about my body that way right now. You know, like, how do I How do I experience resilience? How do I be resilient? How do I heal myself? How do I make sure I set myself up every day? You know?
Yeah.
So like stretching and hydrating and like, but when I say hydrating, I mean a lot of electrolytes. I'm really big on electrolytes right now. They're so important for me. That's the first thing I do in the morning, and I don't leave the house unless I like feel good, you know?
Yeah. I am so excited to announce that subscriptions are available on my favorite digestive enzyme ever. It has completely changed my digestion. I take it every single day. And now through February 1st, 2024, you can actually subscribe for two bottles every 3 months at 20% off. And if you're listening to this after February 1st, you can still sign up for a subscription. It'll be 15% off. Let me tell you why this has changed my life. I found something called Digestive Complex. It has a blend of 10 different enzymes, including lactase to help with dairy and protease for protein digestion, and a blend of herbs like licorice and marshmallow root, which are calming for the stomach. It also has hydrochloric acid, which is often suppressed when we're stressed. I randomly just get digestive issues occasionally, especially if I'm traveling or eating out. And I also notice it when I'm upping my protein intake, or I tend to have a higher protein day. And so taking these digestive enzymes specifically at dinner when I tend to eat a lot of protein has made such a huge difference. I am not exaggerating when I tell you it's completely changed my digestion. Digestive Complex is a synergistic formula that provides support for healthy digestion and relief from occasional discomforts such as gas, bloating, and indigestion. I think just about everyone should have a bottle on hand to proactively help your body digest food, especially if you're dealing with a chronic condition or you're under stress or going through a season of stress. I also find that it's really important. A lot of people are deficient in nutrients. And when you bring in a digestive enzyme, you're allowing your body to digest nutrients better. So you're absorbing your nutrients better, and you're at a lower risk of experiencing a deficiency. For a limited time, you can get 10% off Digestive Complex. Go to mdlogichealth.com/digestive. Again, that's mdlogichealth.com/digestive. Use code WELLFED for 10% off, or sign up for a subscription like me. You can get two bottles every 3 months for 20% off for the life of the subscription, as long as you have it, as long as you sign up before February 1st. If you're listening to this after February 1st, no problem. Sign up for a subscription and you'll get 15% off. No, I will never stop researching and trying to find answers. And honestly, I feel like that's what's gotten me to answers. So like there is a lot to be said for balance. And I feel like a lot of us need that. So a lot of this, you know, you need to eat more greens, you need to eat more greens, is not for everybody. A lot of people eat plenty of greens, and we don't need more is not better. You know, how many times have we said that? More is just more. It is not better. And sometimes it's detrimental. So obviously that advice could be for a lot of people, but it's not for others. And we have to be able to take a step back and, yes, have the balance and know what our foundationals are. So like, what are the things that we need to do in order to make sure that we, A, are resilient and can do the things that we want to in life? Which actually, question number one is from Jess, and this is totally related. So I want to hear your thoughts. She said, I'd love to hear your thoughts on what you think the 80-20s are for health. So what would be the vital 20% that would give me the biggest bang for my buck when it comes to 80% of my health? While I've always done a lot for my health, I feel like in this season of life, I have very, very little time to actually care for myself, even when it comes to eating nourishing foods and getting movement in. It's very limited. Right now, I'm really having to pare down my self-care. The reality is I'm here in this season for the foreseeable future.
I think the number one thing that I would recommend to anybody would be to get really acquainted with and try to soften the edges around the stuff operating in us that's preventing us from doing what we think is conducive to our flourishing. So, like for me, I have a very, very, very strongly habituated drive to control outcomes. And for me, the solution to things has always been to exert as much willpower as possible to control outcomes. And that is a part that is at the root of my current issues, perhaps, you know, and you know, head pain, like it's associated with excitability. And like you said, like pain is the body trying to get you to stop doing something. Right. And we always have an option to go slower or faster. And for me, it's always faster. It's always more. Right. And that's like, that's so deep in me. And when sometimes I move away from it and then I slingshot right back. and so if I'm going to make a piece of advice that could be universalized, it's like, try to figure out like what's in the way, what's in the way of like a healthy habit that you'd like, and just like befriend it, you know, tell it's okay, Like, don't worry, I got this. And just hold that constantly and know, recognize when it's like trying to do its thing and say, oh, actually, so it's like my one universalizable thing. And it's funny because right now I'm also talking about like how I don't want to universalize, because like the research is so important, right? Like,
right.
you don't know. It's more important for me. I think it's more important to try to understand how bodies work. Right. Like, and so like 80-20 again, I would be like, well, you know, how does your body work? What do you need?
Oh, you know? So good. You must be a philosopher.
Oh my goodness. I know. I must be a airhead.
No, that's a joke. That's really good.
We'll circle back to. Thank you. I mean, and if you are low on whatever kind of resources you have for self-care, like I don't want you to have to like make a shopping list and get these specific foods and do these specific exercises and these specific practices and try to like make your life a puzzle where you're like, take out a piece and put in a piece and you have to like fight to try to figure out how to squeeze in like the 20% that are going to give you the most benefit.
Yeah.
Nah. I'd say pick like, what's the one thing? Pick one thing. And maybe that's what you're asking me for, but I can't tell you what it is. What would help bring you energy and peace and center that?
Boom. Okay. I can give you some specifics. I can tell you what I would do.
Wow. You must be an influencer who actually helps people with their problems.
I have the answers. A lot of you have been asking me. So, you know, I think back when I've had a lot of times in my life where I've been in seasons like this. And I think it's no secret that I struggled greatly immediately postpartum with both of my children, but most notably, like with my son, I was in absolute survival with two small children and trying to run a business and my husband working full time and nights, and it was a lot, and I don't ever want to go back to that. And then most notably this past year, there was a time where my husband was working very long hours. I was trying to continue to run my business and launch products and manage two differing schedules with very, very needy children. So if I think back to what we needed to do, and I sat down with my husband and I said, how can we make our lives easier right now? And I think that sometimes you do have to look at those. So can we get groceries delivered? Yeah, it's $9 to have it delivered and that stinks. But is it something that we can do once or twice a month to lighten the load so that we're not having to go and you know, go grocery shopping? Because that's basically what we're trying to do, is figure out what is worth your time. Is $9 worth an hour and a half of your time? And it may be. So figure out those little things, those little hacks that you can do. I have made it and I still try to find new things that I can do that are really quick and easy, but we have decided to give our kids quick and easy dinners. I don't cook every night and we don't have the time for that. So when we do want my child to be in gymnastics, and so on her gymnastics nights, we do chicken nuggets in the oven instead of like picking up food. I've recently tried a few other things like little pizza bites and stuff, and that didn't work out so great. Sometimes I make them oatmeal for dinner. It's not ideal. I'm not Susie Homemaker. I'm not making these big, wonderful liver meatballs for my kids every night, nor are they eating them. And so you have to figure out your shortcuts. That's my number one that I will say. Number two for me has been, I always, and I don't think this is a surprise to anybody, I always, always, always prioritize sleep. If I'm not sleeping, my life is a mess. I am a mess. I'm physically a mess. I'm mentally and emotionally a mess. And so you have to be able to, what does that mean? What gets in the way of our sleep? It's typically we're on our phones or we're watching TV. And I don't want to take that away from anybody, because I know how sitting and watching TV at night actually helps me quiet my mind. And like, it's a little bit of me time. That's what I do for myself. So watch a movie with my blue light blocking glasses on, of course. But I think in this phase of life, and even last night, we kind of, you know, my husband and I are both like, okay, let's just turn it off early so we can get to bed and try to get that full 7.5 to 8 hours of sleep. And it's worth it every time, because I can wake up, I'm actually not exhausted, I'm not tired, and I feel good and I can take on the day. So if you're trying to do anything sleep deprived, I really just feel like it's not going to go well. I'm not going to say it's going to undo your efforts, but your efforts are going to be a lot less effective if you're doing it on chronically low sleep. Let's see what the last 20% would be of that 20%. I'd say maybe I've talked about the 10 of the 20 would be the last 10%. Fitting in walk breaks where you can. So that, and I say that because that's super easy to do, but you've got to be able to continue to move your body, whether it's, hey, I'm going on a quick 10-minute phone call, I'm going to walk around the block, or hey, I'm going to take a lunch and you eat for 10 minutes of that and you walk for 10 minutes of that. Try to get your walking in, because movement is king, and that will actually improve your mental function. I mean, it gets blood flowing, it actually improves cognition. And that will keep you feeling well. I know from personal experience, my body becomes so. And again, this is for me, going back to what Stephanie said, this is for me, right? I can't sit, even though I need to sit. And this has been the struggle. And this is what I've been working on with my physical therapist and all that, is I am in chronic pain, whether it's I started getting really sensitive to screens, I get tension in my shoulder, I get pain in my back. And I've been able to pin it down to lack of movement. When I'm walking more and I'm outside more and I'm doing more, I am in less pain and I'm able to do more. So for me, that's something that I can get back, is, okay, if I can walk 10 to 15 minutes a day, it actually keeps me more productive and healthier and I get more bang for my buck. And then the last thing I would say is prepping protein on the weekends and Sundays. If you're not being intentional, and I know that it is really hard to carve out the time, and maybe it's your Sunday and you don't want to make stuff. Like, I don't want a prep day on Sunday. I want a sleep day. I want a couch day. I want a nothing day. Or maybe I need to like reorganize my children's closets because they're a complete mess day, like that, you know? And so you don't always want to be tied to that. I hear you, but this is where we get help. So we work together with our partners, maybe with our children. I'm really excited for the day that they can help, because they will be. But you know, I'm going to be like, Stella, make your muffins for your lunches. But I will say, getting easy grab and go proteins. So what we've been doing in this phase of life is the turkey deli meats has been really helpful for me, and really being intentional with when I am making dinner, I'm making 3 portions. And if I've got some time on the weekends, I'm going to be making, a lot of people say, oh, weeknight dinners. And then you spend the weekends, you know, going out to eat. I hear you on that. But like, if you have more time on a Saturday, that's when I make my biggest meals. I make my big meals where I can put a ton of meat and protein in the fridge. So try to get it from the dinners that you're making. But also, if you can just grill up a bunch of chicken, like marinate it really well, grill up a bunch of chicken and then repurpose it into salads or, you know, your meals, that's going to go so far for you. Because I feel like the biggest stress for me becomes, what am I eating during the day? And even dinners, of course, but like, what am I eating throughout the day? And you've got to be able to fuel yourself, and you need protein. Protein is the hardest thing to get when we're stressed. So I would really try to be intentional with doubling or tripling your meals. If you need to get like a new, bigger skillet. Caraway has an 11.8 inch large pan, and I double and triple recipes in that thing all the time, and it's so wonderful. But get the appropriate pans and double and triple your recipes. And if you can, you know, throw a bunch of chicken on the grill and make sure that you have plenty of protein that you can grab during the week. That's my 20%.
Cool. One thing that I would add, which is related to what you're saying and things that you've said in recent podcasts, is forget everything that everybody says considers normal. And you go out and do you. How can you make things habitual and easy for you? And yeah. I know that like this doesn't work for everybody, but like I had peanuts and half a can of black beans like before this podcast. And I enjoy that. I love that. It's simple. It's easy. It's habitual. That kind of thing works for me, right? I hard boil eggs early in the week. I'm not doing that now, but normally I do. And, you know, I don't have to like Noelle was talking about doing stuff with your kids, and so much of the stress of parenting is about trying to live up to these arbitrary standards we have of what it means to be a good parent, you know, or what it looks like to be a healthy person or somebody who does self-care. You do you, you know, wear what's comfortable. Can I just say, this is a quick aside, but like prioritizing physical comfort in your day, whether that's like wearing really big, thick socks or slippers, or wearing clothes at work that don't like look a certain, but like whatever, your physical comfort is such a helpful, underappreciated way. Like when you're uncomfortable or you're cold or something, you're in a little bit of pain, something itches, the whatever, all that kind of stuff, it's like it drags on you, you know? So just like,
yes. That's, you know, related to your nervous system health too, by the way. We have a set way that our body likes to feel, tight or loose or warm or whatever. And I actually did a little exercise with Alyssa, and she was like, what typically makes you feel comfortable in your body? And I was like, oh, I never really thought about this, but I wear the same thing every day, which is looser joggers. Look, a tight top. I like tight on top. And then I want something to go over top, whether it's a jacket, like, you know, one of those fuzzier jackets, a vest or whatever that I can just pull on and off. And I was like, oh my gosh, I do this every single day.
And while I'm currently shopping for loose high-waisted joggers, I have it in my cart. Oh, it's on, I'm on Athleta. I'm looking at the Salutation joggers.
Yes, right, I have that one. And the Venice jogger.
I'm trying to find them discounted on eBay.
And the Venice jogger is so great.
Is it? I'll look into it. And like,
it's so great.
It's so important. I can't impress upon you enough. Like, this is a part of resilience. I mean, you want to be resilient so you can wear like whatever or do whatever and be fine, be resilient to it. But also you can help make yourself more emotionally resilient by like letting the soft animal of your body be clothed in things that like comfort you, that are soft, or, you know, I like nice and flowy, not restrictive, you know, that kind of, anyway, just like a little tip, you know, like all these small things, all these ways that you can make yourself more comfortable just by like paying a little bit of attention and saying, screw it to what is normal, quote unquote.
Totally. And I had that revelation that I was like, wow, I try to make the other things work and I never like it. Like, I'm not a turtleneck, heavier sweatshirt. Everybody loves this top from Athleta. It's like the cozy karma. It's like this big, heavier thing. And I got one and I feel bad because I never wear it, but I hate wearing it because I feel kind of overheated and sweaty. And I'm like, It's just loose and I want something tight. And then I can take a top on or off to keep me cool. So anyway.
Yeah. Well, like, and how many cute blazers do I have that I never put on unless... you know, I have an important thing because I adore them, but I don't have this range of motion. I'm constantly doing this. I'm trying to type, but I can't because of this. And people ask me how I stay productive. And I have to be honest with you, like such a big piece of it is just paying attention to those things.
Yes. So true. What a good revelation.
Yeah.
Question number two is from Katie. She says, what does a hormone supportive daily routine look like? Now, this question was actually, we didn't get to it for a different podcast episode, but I think that this is actually a really interesting question because we can kind of set the stage again, bioindividuality. What does it look like for each of us on a daily basis to support our hormones and kind of keep them in check, keep them balanced?
Well,
maybe you're not in that space right now.
I think that might depend on you. No, it's super wild because I mean, B6 plays the vagus nerve and the autonomic nervous system and all this stuff I'm learning about electrolyte balance. Electrolytes are blowing my mind right now, just blowing my mind. And so for me, supporting my hormones might be like trying to make sure that I get the electrolytes that I need. So yeah, I do think it's super bio individual. I'll talk about a few generalizations maybe, right? So if you suspect that you may be a little bit estrogen dominant, let's say you carry a higher body fat percentage, you don't exercise much, or like, let's put it in terms of the symptoms you experience, you have symptoms of PMS, maybe PMDD. I mean, although those may have to do with sensitivity to estrogen, less so than the amount of estrogen, but if you suspect, you know, you've got a lot of hormonal symptoms associated with the cycle, if you suspect that you may be estrogen dominant, then like start your day with a bucket of greens, something I'm not going to do, but it might be great for you. And some exercise, right? Some movement. I would say, you know, a little bit of high heart rate, muscle building kind of movement. A little bit here or there, and other more gentle movement, a lot of that here or there. Focus on nutrient density, unless you're like me and you need to take a little bit of a break from it, right? So it's so bio-individual. I think fat-soluble vitamins, super important for health for a lot of people. I think generally speaking, focusing on local, organic, raised animal products and produce, therapy or practices that bring joy. I mean, like I'm generalizing here. This is the best I can do in it when I'm trying to generalize, because hormone supportive could mean so many different things. If you habitually, if you've undereaten, if you've exercised a bunch, then I'm not going to tell you that like a daily routine means exercising more, because it doesn't. You know, to support your hormones. It could be still exercising, but like a little bit less. Oh man, this, like, I'm going to have to quit the podcast and just put a little script, like a note, and you can read the note for me. And it says like, Steph thinks everybody should do some research and be bio-individual and chill out.
Do what works for you.
Revisit in 2025. I'll be back in 12 months. Go ahead. This is your turn.
I have a way for you to get free electrolytes. And let me be honest, you are going to love them. Minerals have quite literally changed my life. I take them daily now. A lot of people think that you don't need to take them during the winter because you're not sweating as much. But that's a myth. If you are running around, if you're working out, if you're eating a whole foods diet, and if you're dealing with stress, your body still needs electrolyte support. In fact, I'm still drinking them daily during the winter now. I tend to drink them mid-morning. I get to a point where I start to feel fatigue, and I actually start to feel like I want something, like I'm craving something, whether it's food or sweet, and I don't really feel hungry. That's when I know I need my electrolytes. One of my favorite ways to replace minerals is with Element. I started supplementing with Element after workouts, and it made a huge difference in my energy and the dizziness I used to experience throughout the day. They make grab-and-go electrolyte replacement packs with no sugar, gluten fillers, or artificial ingredients. You just tear open a pack, pour it into your water, and stir. I have now been mixing up half a packet for my kids when they're sick, which has been often. They now say, I don't feel good, I want my Element. I also pretty much always have one in my purse, because when we are out and about, it's been a long day, we're at a football game, I need to pour some Element in my water. Right now, everyone, including new and current customers, can get a free 8-pack of Element with every order. Element comes in boxes of 30. There is free shipping on all orders. And now all orders will get a free 8-pack, which has all the flavors of Element. When you do your order, I recommend doing the Insider Bundle, which gives you 3 boxes. Then you get one free. Then you get a free 8-pack on top of it. And make sure to check out the new winter flavors, chocolate mint, chocolate raspberry, and chocolate chai, which can be heated up for a warm drink. To get Element, go to drinklmnt.com/wellfed and make sure to use the code wellfed for your free sample 8-pack. Again, that's drinklmnt.com/wellfed. This feels like a reel to me, actually. Like, while you were talking, I'm sitting here thinking about, here's what a hormone supportive daily routine looks like for me. And like, you're watching somebody do all the things. Those are so big right now. Okay, so I think what we're really asking is, what's going to keep our hormones balanced? And one thing is, I kind of put it into three categories: stress reduction. So how are we eliminating unneeded or superfluous stress? Two is liver support. So how are we actually supporting our liver so that it can properly detoxify things, including used hormones that need to be excreted from the body as opposed to reabsorbed, which can cause estrogen dominance. And then what was the third one? Three is blood sugar balancing. So how are we supporting insulin sensitivity, and how are we making sure that our body is not under stress by having to constantly deal with blood sugar crashing and going up and down and up and down, all those things. So what does what does that kind of stuff look like on a daily basis? I should make a program. Not going to. Not going to. So here's what that looks like. I'm going to go from start to finish. I'm just imagining getting enough sleep. You're not, we'll start in the morning. Getting enough sleep, waking up, you know, people love to be like, go get sunlight first thing in the morning. Try telling that to a mom. What are you talking about? You think I'm going to get up and go outside and look at the sun for like 10 to 15 minutes when I have kids that I need to get out? And working women in general, what are we? We're getting up. We are trying to get ourselves out the door to our job or our kids off to school. No, I'm not going outside. So that's not, if it works for you, do it. Not realistic. So I'm going to get up. I'm not going to eat breakfast, but it might need to be something that you need to do, because I eat a lot. I eat plenty, but I also like to get my movement in before breakfast. Now, some people will say you have to eat before for hormones. I say my hormones are perfectly balanced, and I just like to get my PT in, and I do a very short lift session. I do take aminos. I am drinking electrolytes, so I'm supporting myself. But then post-workout, which is still very early and it's still the morning, I get my kids off and all the things. What is that? What do I need to do? I think most women in general, whether it's before or after your workout, you need to eat around 25 to 30 grams of protein first thing in the morning with some healthy fats and maybe some fruit or whatever on the side. So check, that's a non-negotiable for me, is getting your sleep, getting some hormone supportive workout in, and making sure that you're improving insulin sensitivity and you're increasing muscle mass with that workout. So it could be PT stuff. It could be a walk. It could be, ideally, it would be lifting, and that would happen a few times a week. I think that it's imperative, especially for women 35 plus, that we are lifting weights and improving or maintaining muscle mass. That is the number one thing you can do to help improve insulin sensitivity. Protein-rich breakfast, that's immediately going to help balance your blood sugar. And ideally, it's going to be animal-based protein products. You're going to have choline and sulfur from eggs. You know, at lunch and at dinner, you're also going to continue to eat high protein and have it be really bioavailable nutrient-dense sources that are packed with the nutrients that your liver needs to detoxify, not just hormones, but toxins and all the things that we come in contact with on a daily basis. Grass-fed meats, liver, all that stuff is really rich in the vitamins and nutrients that the liver needs. So if you are sensitive or, you know, having all these issues, look at your protein sources, look at your liver-supporting foods. So protein-rich foods, breakfast, of course, but also lunch and dinner, lifting. And then at night for me, and this is just little things because I'm not, so this would be a daily routine in which I am supporting balance, not I'm imbalanced and I need to improve it. Let me say that. I think that's an important distinction, because if you have major adrenal dysfunction, you're already, you know, your thyroid's whack, you're having all these problems, you may need to not work out for a little bit and just walk. You may need to eat before you walk, eat the first thing when you wake up. So this is just the maintenance for me. At night, it's very important that I eat and it's important that I eat and that it is protein rich. I typically am not doing, this might be a little controversial and I'm not trying to be all diety, but I'm not doing desserts right now. I really want to focus on, I mean, I will, I guess. Like last night I had a little good popsicle, but it was pretty small. But I'm just finding that I feel better when my diet is really packed with protein and I kind of just keep it there. I am trying to build more lean muscle, muscle mass. So that's just kind of where I'm at right now in this phase, and it feels good. And at night, I think my sleep and supporting my sleep and supporting my hormones really changed when I started, of course, taking magnesium at night, but also wearing my blue light blocking glasses and really toning down the overhead light and the blue light and my interaction with social media past a certain point. I put my phone in airplane mode. And if we're watching something, we have like a little filter on our TV, and I have my blue light blocking glasses on. It also is probably, and these are the little tweaks that I like to make. It's not absolute, but these are the things that are really supportive for me. So regular sauna and sweating. So the sauna blanket or my PEMF mat, that I'm going to do that at night or sometimes during the day if my body's feeling a little bit meh. And I'm probably going to take maybe a short walk during the day or a few times a week in order to keep my body exposed to some sunlight and to get some fresh air and to keep myself active and moving. And it also includes doing the things you enjoy. Like, I actually really enjoy work. I like being productive. I like being creative. And I think that we need to honor that too. But we need to be able to, as a society, figure out how do we work and be productive, but not get into utter and total burnout, which that is the way our society works. That's the way the Western culture in the United States works. If you want to start a business, you're going to have to like put your health on the back burner. And that's kind of become the norm, you know, hustle culture, right? Boss babe. Like, and you see what other people do. And I have to say, it's mind boggling. I'm like, how are you still alive? How are you spending this much time building things, promoting things, pushing things, running a business, posting 18 times on Instagram, making a reel a day? Like, what you're required to do now as like, here's the secret to like grow your business is sets everybody up for failure, like in terms of their health. If you want to have a successful business at some point, like your health is going to tank if you do all the things that everybody says. So we have to, as a society, or we have to, as women who are into holistic health and actually want to do things and be productive and also like have pursuits and have passions, how do we engage with those passions and those pursuits and those enjoyments without feeling like we have to do it the way society is telling us to do it and grow as fast as society says we should grow and like check all the boxes and do everything right? Like, how is there a middle ground? I don't know. There has to be, I think, for us just to be able to survive, but you also have to sacrifice things. So reducing your stress really it means understanding what do I want to sacrifice? Do I want to sacrifice my health, or do I want to sacrifice success as fast as possible? So,
yeah. Thoughts? Yeah, no, that's great. I really loved, you know, I think setting goals and then having like, you know, your personal way of meeting them, like blood sugar balance, so important, so helpful. That's probably a part of the whole like dessert protein thing, whatever, you know, and, but that's also like, that's just this for you, like at certain times in life, it's like, yeah, like this is something that I'm putting in for X reason. And then other times it's like, nah, cool.
Yeah.
Another recommendation is like, be flexible and open to change. Maybe like actively seek it out, but not in a way that's stressful. Just like be open to it, because you can probably always find, and I'm not saying seek aggressively, you know, but stumble into, you know, new stuff that works for you. So, okay.
Yeah, true. All right. This is the last question. It's from a friend, anonymous. It says, how do y'all make diet changes for yourself and feed your families? I need to go low carb for blood sugar in pregnancy, not diagnosed GD, but I have risk factors, so more for preventative reasons. But I have young children that really do need carbs for their growth and development. And we eat a lot of carbs like sourdough bread. I make and pasta and rice and oatmeal, potatoes, beets, etc. What are your best tips and tricks for feeding everyone while also being low carb and on a single income budget?
I'll just say really quickly, what comes to mind for me is keep doing whatever you're doing for your kids. You know, if there were things that work for them and you like it, go ahead and keep doing that. I would make more, I would just make a little bit less of that stuff and make an extra, you know, make the recipe a little bit bigger for any protein, fat kind of stuff that you're serving, and then just have a bigger heap of that for yourself. And, you know, I would juggle it that way. And maybe I'm oversimplifying because I'm chronically single.
It's actually not so chronically single. It is, I don't believe it can, it has to be that complicated. So for example, make recipes in which the main dish has everything that you need, and then you make a side, which is more for your kids. So this is what we do on a weekly basis. This is actually what I'm going to go and eat for lunch after we're done here. But I make meatballs, and they're gluten-free meatballs, and I put actually oat flour in them. I'm considering putting this website or this recipe up on the website, but I'm not sure people would like it because it's got oat flour, and I can't spend time anymore putting recipes on my website that nobody uses, but I love this recipe. It's my favorite, my kids' favorite. I do oat flour and, ground beef and some eggs, and I make a ton of meatballs, 2 pounds of them. I really actually would like to start making 3 when Maverick gets bigger. I'm sure I'm going to be making 3 pounds of meatballs. Then I make the gluten-free Jovial, which is awesome pasta. Now I rotate whatever pasta it is. Usually sometimes it's actual spaghetti noodles. Sometimes it's the shells. Sometimes it's the little like squiggles, which are cool. And that's what my kids eat. So they have a big bowl of pasta with the meatballs on top. I'm usually just throwing the meatballs on top of a salad because I like the pasta, and I might have a little bit of pasta, and you should, right? But like, because carbs, we need carbs. The goal is not to eat no carb. It's just lower carb. So you just eat less or none of that. Another example would be grilled. So like I have a recipe on my website. It's grilled chicken skewers. The marinade is awesome. But sometimes we'll just marinate whole chicken thighs and not cut it all up. You can also do the skewers. But then make a sheet pan of potatoes, sweet potatoes, or a sheet pan of rainbow vegetables. And so you eat more chicken and you eat some roasted veggies with it, and your kids will eat like the potatoes from that roasted pan veggie thing. I also have like a sheet pan that's like a steak fajitas sheet pan, which we made over the weekend. My kids ate it wrapped up in 7 almond flour tortillas. I ate it, all the steak and the peppers, just the steak and the peppers together, and then had a salad. So pick meals that are not, oh, it's lasagna, where you can't really separate it out. Make your main thing that you want and then make some side dishes, your go-to side dishes. Rice is like a staple in our house. I love it. When we were in Japan, we lived there for a little bit. They have these rice cookers, and it's like everybody has rice in their drawer. And I was like in heaven. I just loved every second of it. And so I really do always have rice in the fridge. So even if we come up on a day where, like, I have a healthy sloppy Joe's recipe on my website. It's amazing. It's pretty easy to eat. My kids don't love it because they're still picky, and they're like, tomato sauce. Actually, Maverick's usually fine with it, but Stella's not. So what I will do is I will take the rice that I made on Monday, and I'll just mix it up into their sloppy Joe's, and I'll put their sloppy Joe on a bun. For me, I'm just putting it over a little bit of rice, or I'm just eating it plain in a bowl with a side salad. So the salad is the staple here. We always make a salad every night. So sometimes I'll just throw it on top of the salad. Sometimes I'll throw less or more stuff in my salad, depending on how hungry I am. But there's always that main protein dish. And that is what I recommend. And actually, that's how I recommend most people, most families exist, because you've got to be making more protein. You have to be making 2 to 3 servings of your protein so that you have it then to eat throughout the week for lunch. You, of course, can do leftovers for your kids. I mean, we usually take the meatballs that we made and we make meatball sandwiches. So we get like gluten-free bread and we put it, and you said you make sourdough. So like, hey, once you make the meatballs, give your kids meatball sandwiches and you can just have the meatballs for dinner as leftovers. And if you want to like roast some veggies or roast some broccoli as a side for you and for them too, like, there you go. So just keep it separate is my recommendation. Anything else from you?
No.
Okay. I think that's it. Best wishes, Stephanie. We all hope that you get better.
I'm on the way. It's going great.
We will be praying for you. Hopefully next time we are here, you can look at a window and not feel like you got to go take a nap. But I know you're struggling, and I appreciate you being here. I appreciate you answering these questions to the best of your ability. And honestly, I love that you're honest. I love that you're giving me where you're at right now. And you always have, but I appreciate your answers. So,
okay. Thank you. I hope I'm contributing well. It sounded like, well, you did your best. Thanks.
I'm just looking at you over there, and I just feel, I just want you to know we appreciate you.
Thank you.
Even if your face is too dark for the camera.
I'm so sorry. That will get better.
That will get better. Okay, for more from Stephanie, she's on the X at Stephanie Ruper. For more from me at Coconuts and Kettlebells on Instagram. Thanks for being here, guys. We will talk to you next week.